All right. We're going to get started this morning. We're glad to have Mark back. How long were you gone, Mark? About 8 weeks, 9 weeks?
75 days.
75 days.
I wasn't counting, though. Not that I was counting.
All right. Well, it's good to have him back.
Amen.
Actually, before he left, he volunteered to teach the week after he come back. So let's give him a hand for that.
Can I clap for myself?
Oh, also real fast, give a hand to the couple over here.
Amen.
My grandson asked a young lady next to him to marry him yesterday. And
amen.
No.
Did she say yes?
Yeah.
No, I haven't told you whether she said yes.
What was the answer?
Yes. I need to talk to her, but she did say yes. All right.
Amen.
Without further... She doesn't know what she's getting into. But without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Mark.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like somebody to pray for me. Who wants to? I need somebody. Can I get a little prayer, brother? Can I get a word? All right, amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You. See, you have to have people to make up for me, right, Pastor? All my shortcomings.
I need prayer.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you, Father God, for Mark, Father God, and his lovely wife, Father God, that since they've walked into this church, or Father God, since you placed them in this church, Father God, they have been real servants. They both have gifts, Father God. And Lord, Mark has one for teaching, among other things, Lord, and he's going to share that gift with us this morning. Just pour your spirit out on him this morning, Father God. Let him hear from you and bring it to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like somebody calls me a teacher. That goes to show you I fooled everybody. That's good. So that's one of my gifts, too. But, you know, Bob talks about we've been here. We love this place. I mean, we've been here 14 years now. It has done immense things in our life, the people that we've met here, the pastor. So, you know, maybe we are a blessing to this church, but the church has been much more of a blessing to us than we have for the church, trust me. And I'd like to thank Bob for continually asking me to teach. It's just, it was good. But I know I told Sandy when we first came to the church, I'm never going to say no. And I don't think I think I've stuck to that vow so far. So,
yes,
and being able to teach, it gives you time to get back into the Word, to get into it deeper and stronger, and makes you realize that, hey, maybe I need to read more than even I'm reading now. But I know I've said it once, I've said it three other times. I'm always humbled, I know, before God, before everybody here, that I am allowed to come up here and talk and do something like that. But I'm the type of person, I like dates. I like remembering dates. There's just something about that. I remember dates. There's a big date that just passed. And what I'm going to need is I'm going to need somebody to read a scripture for me. And, Brother Ed, I was wondering if somebody has a Bible. I like somebody with a strong voice to be able to read this scripture. So it's Psalm 47:1. If somebody wants to...
We're working out over here right now.
All right, I'm just looking to take up time. Psalm 47:1. Amen. 47:1, because this past Wednesday, it was been 14 years since I had my heart attack. And if anybody knows, if anybody's seen the movie The Runaway Train, or any runaway train, you get to the end of this thing, and there's this big, gigantic cement stopper. It's going to stop that train. And that's what happened to me 14 years ago. My life was a runaway train at that time. And God, pow, had me run into that stopper, and it was called a heart attack. That stopped me dead in my tracks the way I was going. I needed to be stopped, and I needed to repent and turn around. And I just pray that I have stopped and I have turned around. But this psalm here really kind of make the way I feel and the way I think we all should feel towards God. And what I want to do is I want it read loud. And then what we're going to do, what that psalm says. So if...
We'll stand up because actually I feel the same thing.
Amen.
We do need to be humble. We do need to be repented of all the stuff. And we need to lay it down. We need to lay it down at the feet of Jesus and say, you help me.
That's right.
You help me with this situation because it's out of my control.
Amen.
I can't do it. I can't fix it. I can't fix anything that is within me.
Amen.
So this is a powerful, powerful scripture.
Yes.
Go ahead and celebrate.
Come on. Clap your hands, everyone. Amen. Shout to God with the resource sounds of joy. And I thank God for that, because that's what I will do. I will not let him take anything from me today.
Amen.
Today is the day.
That's right. Amen. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start clapping my hands. I'm going to start shouting for joy for what God did to me 14 years ago. So I'm going to clap. I'm going to thank you, Lord God. I'm going to shout for joy for what you've done for us, Lord God. I'm going to shout for joy for what you're doing for us. And I'm going to shout for joy for what you've yet to do for us. I want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Esther. I appreciate that. Couldn't have been said any better than you just said that. It's fantastic. And while we were in Florida, you know, we're taking pictures, we're taking videos, and Sandy took a video of something, and we were told it's a very rare sighting. So I want to share this video with everybody. All right. Like we were told, you rarely see Wally Gator, but we were able to get a video of him, so it was pretty awesome.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And that's from 1962. So that's...
Helps to make a dish delish.
I say, boy, that's Foghorn Leghorn. That's Foghorn Leghorn. All right, we can... While we were in Florida, we were down in Panama City Beach, and we drove through, on the way in, we went through a town called Blountstown, and there was just devastation everywhere, still from that hurricane. It's not talked about on the news anymore, but these people, that is their life. We went through Panama City, devastated. We drove by the Tyndall Air Force Base, destroyed, hangars laid everywhere. There was like $3 billion worth of damage to the airplanes there, to the Air Force Base. $100 million lost in economy and $6 billion in agriculture. Then we drove through Mexico City. Total devastation. The city's gone. It's a weird drove for 20, 30, 45 minutes we drove. There's nothing. There's construction workers there. Sandy's going, you know, I might have to go to the bathroom. I goes, we can't find any. There's nothing open. I said, you might have to use a construction worker's thing. But... their lives have been demolished. The people we talked to, the maids at our condos we were staying at, they're staying in tents in their front yard. They have no running water. They have no electricity. They have nothing. And like I said, it's been totally ignored by the media of what's going on down there. And it's going to be years. I talked to one guy in the elevator. He works for FEMA, and he was doing work at the airport. He said, this is my ninth hurricane. He goes, this is terrible. He said, the Air Force base is destroyed. So they were hit by a gigantic storm. And the thing that really stood out to me was the condition of the trees. We were walking through or driving through, and you see a tree snapped in half on the ground. You'd see a tree bent back, or then you'd see a tree standing firm and standing there. So I started to relate to that about in Revelation 3:16, how Jesus talks about he'd rather have you cold or hot, but not lukewarm. He wants you hot. And I kind of started to relate that to the position of those trees on how do we handle a storm when it comes into our life. When that storm comes, do we snap? Do we break in half? Do we get cold with the word? When a storm comes, do we start to bend and bend? And everybody, it reminded me years ago in the 70s, there was a group called Blue Oyster Cult. They had a song, Don't Fear the Reaper, and it was about committing suicide. Yeah. But the one line, it says, I'm all for giving the devil his due. Well, I think that's what, you know, bend, don't break is a good adage for sports, for a football team, for a basketball team. You bend, but you don't break. Well, as Christians, we don't bend. Because as far as I'm concerned, I think we're compromising our walk if we've been, well, you know, we're going to accept a little bit of trouble and maybe we'll snap back. but I'm all for giving the devil his due. Well, I'm not. Blue Oyster Cult might have been in the 70s, but I'm not here to give the devil any due for anything.
Yes.
So I don't want to be the one that bends but does not break. I don't want to bend at all. I want to be the person that's going to stand firm when the storms of life hit you. Because, hey, the storms of life hit us. We get physical ailments. We get storms at our jobs. We get storms from people at work. We get storms from family members. We get storms. They come from everywhere. So we have to remember that. And we even create some of our own storms. Let's face it. Hey, I've been through situations. I'm sitting, and I think, why did I do that? Because you think at the time, what's that scripture, a man's plan or something that seems good at the time, but when it all comes out, it comes to fruition, you're thinking, boy, I should have asked God for some little information on this stuff. So I want to be the person that stands firm, because in Proverbs 10:25, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. We have some spiritual storms. When maybe a couple weeks we don't go to church. Trust me, I know from experience, once you stop going to church once or twice, it turns into 10, it turns into 20, it turns into 30, it turns into years. You don't go to church. And then that's when that runaway train hits that barrier, and God says, enough is enough. If you're my child, guess what? It's time to stand up and prove it. It's time to stop bending but not breaking. It's time to stand firm. And that's what happened to me. So it's very easy. Once you get on that treadmill, get off that treadmill. And like I said, you know, our pride will bring us into storms. Being out of God's will brings us storms. For sure, for storms. Get out of the way. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. That's what God asks us to do. It's not going to be easy sometimes going through these storms. But God is there with us. We have to hold on, because eventually that storm will stop. Whether we think it won't, sometimes, when is it ever going to end, God? It reminds me of that commercial, I don't, whatever fast food, they had that glove. When will it end? Is that thing what would be there? I just always remember that smiley glove. I think it was Hardee's or Jack in the Box or something, but sometimes that's the way we get. God, when will this end? Well, I don't know, but it will end. We just have to hold on and stand firm. That storms will end. And I spoke earlier about sometimes our own pride gets in our way. And I hit the scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. We can get confident. As you know, hey, trust me, I can get overconfident in a heartbeat. And then that's when God says, hey, your confidence isn't in yourself. Your confidence is in you. So when the storms of life show up, what do we do? Where do we go? Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Where did the disciples go in the storm on that boat? They didn't go to themselves. They ran to Jesus. That's what you want to do. We want to run to Jesus. Where did the centurion, when he had a servant of his was sick in that, he didn't go to the doctor or the physician, whatever they were back then. He ran to Jesus. That's where we have to run to. Where did the old woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, where did she go? What did she go through to get to Jesus? And this day and age for us, it isn't. Jesus is right there. We don't have to fight through a crowd. We don't have to belittle ourselves and be afraid to go up there and just touch him. We can stand before our Creator and go right to him and talk to him, have relationships with him. We don't have to go through all this struggle. My goodness, there's Bibles all over the place for us.
Amen.
You're about 5 minutes too late on that, dear, but I like that. That's a good amen.
He said amen, but he didn't say it very loud, so I was just helping him.
Amen. No, but... And the thing that I realized also, as we drove through these places, the debris is unbelievable. That even 4 months later, there's 30, 40-foot piles of trees. There's 20-foot piles of aluminum. There's steel. There's metal. There's copper. There's just debris everywhere. And all they're doing is they're getting it out of the way because they don't have time to do it because they're building houses. They're building hotels. We went through Blountstown, just a little city, Backwood City. And we were on the GPS, and it had us go down this side road. I don't know why. But we went there, and it was just devastated. The whole forest was gone. And they had these trucks, were big trucks, and they had end loaders still picking up debris. I'm going, why, this is 4 months later. How come nobody knows about this? How come nobody hears about this? But the debris was even more, you know, overwhelming than the destruction itself. And as we go through some of our storms in life, and we go through them, we will go through them, we'll continue to go through them, we leave behind debris. I mean, say, okay, we made it through that thing. But Jesus said he's going to help you through that storm. He didn't say you're going to be unscathed. There's going to be some things that may happen to you when you go through that. Broken relationships. Maybe by standing firm for God, a relationship that you had may break off. But that's the way it goes. God said, anybody that doesn't want to leave brother and sister for me isn't worthy of me. Sometimes we have to let go of those relationships when those storms are done. We're spiritually drained. We've all been there, on our knees, crying over something, a family member, an episode that has changed our lives. We're sitting there, we're crying our eyes. Our spirit is drained. We're confused. Sometimes we get confused. Hey, we've done everything we're supposed to, God. We pray to you. We read the word. But still, those storms of life show up. So we have to get rid of that confusion. We have to know who's in charge of us, who's taking care of us. There may be even some physical injury. There's nothing to say. We may be in that car accident. We may break an arm. We may break a leg. We may be in a cast for a while. But you know what? God brought us through that. We're alive. We shouldn't be. We should be grateful that we're alive. We shouldn't be sitting there going, oh, geez, I got a broken arm or I got a broken leg. Well, you know, what worse could be happening to me? You could be dead. And I know as a believer, being dead isn't a bad thing. That means we're in heaven. But still, we may encounter some physical injury as we fight off the debris of life. The thing about it is, we just can't stop giving up because some things happen to us. Because we're all going to have things happen to us. There's not anybody here that hasn't had something happen to them, physically, spiritually, mentally. That's the way it is. But you know what? We're all in one piece, and we're right here, and we're still praising God. And that's the main thing.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Not a roll. But when we get through these storms, we're scathed. What do we do? What should we do to get through it? We have to continue to be in God's will. That's a must. We have to pray for God's will all the time. Maybe God's will isn't our will, but that doesn't matter. We go to his will. Pray. Goodness gracious, do we have a better thing to do than pray? We can sit there, we can kneel, we can lay down, we can stand, we can fall down, we can do whatever we want. We can pray anywhere. So when that storm, you see that storm brewing, get to praying. Maybe you can fend that storm off, but the storms, they'll be coming. Seek godly counseling. We have great counseling. Whoa, I need some eye counseling after that. But we have great counselors here, great pastors, great leaders. The men's teachings, the women's teachings, that's where we go to get our counseling. We should never be afraid to come to a brother or as a man go to an elder or as a woman go to I don't want to say an elder woman, a woman. I don't want to get in trouble here, but because as far as I know, there's not a woman in here that's elderly. All the women in here are still young, without a doubt. Fellowship.
Good move, Mark. Good move.
I've learned a lot, but, not really. But fellowship. Good. You have to continue to fellowship. And we have plenty of opportunities to fellowship here. That's what's so great about this church. I mean, there's Sundays, there's Tuesdays, there's Wednesdays, there's Thursdays, there's breakfast twice a week. We can get together. You have to fellowship here. If you're not fellowshipping in this church, you're incapable of fellowship. That's the way I look at it. Can't do it.
That's right. Amen.
And I mentioned how important praying is, but just as important is opening that Bible. Go ahead, Esther.
1 second, Esther.
Race over there, Bob.
Race over there, Bob.
I wanted to share something about what you're talking about. We go through the world, and we go to our jobs, and at times unrealizing because we didn't ask God for wisdom for those situations that we were going to come against. We didn't ask him to cover us. We didn't ask him for guidance, protection, provision, for joy to stay when we're walking through that stuff. And we're I'm in people's houses. When I leave that site. I'm in my vehicle. Then I'm worshiping. But I feel an oppression. The oppression of what's in that house came on me. Or whatever I'm walking through and I'm witnessing and talking to people, their junk is coming on me. Yeah. My children are going out to the schools. They're going into people's houses. They're going and talking to other people. That junk is on our kids.
Yeah. Amen.
That junk is on me. You, I, me, all of us. This church, you are true. If you are not in this church, because this church is not going to let you go out of God's will. You know why? Because they're going to hold us accountable for our life.
Amen.
Yeah, I fall. I'm a sinful person. I'll be the first one to raise my hand and tell you my shortcomings. You know why? Because if I sit there and I hide my sin, I'm where the enemy wants me.
Amen.
When I'm not telling Pastor Don my junk, or I'm not going to an elder's wife, if I'm not doing that, exposing my issues, then I'm right where the enemy wants me. But
Amen.
You know what? We need to stand. We cannot fall when we see our kids doing their mess.
Amen.
Or our grandchildren
right.
doing their mess. We cannot
Amen.
Fall.
Amen.
I'm saying do not fall. Stand up. Stop
Amen.
Crying. Stop sitting there laying down like, oh, look what they're doing. No. Stand up.
Amen.
And say, God, this is what God's doing. He's
That's
doing
right.
what the song said. Rejoice. Stand and joy in what
Amen.
God is doing.
Amen. Woo. Amen.
Sandy. Sandy, can we get an amen?
Amen.
All right.
I think she should start teaching.
Amen.
What do you think she was doing?
Amen, Esther.
That's a good word, Esther. Awesome.
Yes, it is. In regards to that, too, I think one of the things that kind of catches us by surprise is that we don't prepare for the storm.
Amen.
We don't expect the storm. You know, sometimes we think that because we are serving God that we're going to be held out of the storm. It's just the opposite. And when you prepare, and the best way to prepare is to just examine yourself and say, Lord, if you took this, Lord, if you took this, how would I be towards you? And you can evaluate your life by the things that you now hold dear, and if they were no longer there or all of a sudden left, how would you still serve God? And that's the thing that I think what you were talking about, too, is that, you know, we go through the storms and we see all this stuff happening around us. It hasn't affected or touched us yet, but when it does, are we prepared for it? Are we expecting it? Because the enemy will come against us.
Is that the gong?
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for the word, Esther and John. Appreciate it. But in Luke 22:32, Peter had his storm. He was sitting there telling Jesus, you know what? I'll stand by you no matter what. Jesus knew. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus prayed for him that his faith would not fail. He knew he was going to go through that problem. He knew Peter was getting ready to deny him three times, but he didn't do anything about it. He goes, you know what? This is how you build your faith, but I will pray for you. So that's the thing about it. Just remember that no matter what storm we go through, Jesus is standing there. He's praying for us. If nobody else is praying for us, Jesus is praying for us. He always has, and he always will. I was going to play a video, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be played. This is more important to me personally than playing that video. My best friend died Tuesday, Marty. And I had to give his eulogy today at 3 o'clock. I would just ask for prayer right now from somebody that I would get through it okay.
Pastor, let's pray for him. Eddie.
Marty was a believer for over 30 years.
He was here when last time.
He was here when I first talked.
I remember when you brought him here, yes.
He's a strong man of God, and I've known him for over 60 years, and I just appreciate a prayer. So what I have to say would touch people. It'll be at the Connections Church at 3 o'clock. It's probably going to be a lot of people there, and I want to be able to not only honor him, but I want to honor him through honoring God. So I would ask for prayer so I could do that for him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes.
Father, we thank you for Mark Hinger's heart this morning.
Yes.
And Lord,
yes.
In his loss,
yes.
I pray, Father, you know, it says in the word that the seed has got to be tossed into the ground so that it will produce fruit.
Yes.
And we pray, Father, that you would use Mark, Lord, to bring forth fruit in people that he will have come in contact with. We thank you, Lord, for the extension of life that you've been granted Marty.
Yes.
Lord,
yes.
That I know it's been a long battle with the cancer.
Yes.
Father, we just lift up his family right now
to you, Lord.
We lift up our brother Mark, that your peace, that your strength be upon him and his wife.
Yes.
Lord, in the loss, in the storms, it's a difficult thing. And I pray, Lord, that
you
just hang on. But he would see your hand extended, that he would see your glory. Even as Jesus told Martha and Mary, if they would believe, they would see the glory of God.
Yes.
And we pray, Father, that your glory would be revealed in this.
Amen.
We pray that
you
strengthen our brother.
Yeah.
Lord, use him as you see fit.
Yes.
I know he wants to be used.
Yes.
And Lord,
you
know, the thing is, people all around us, we thank you that Marty was born again, that he knew you, that he's standing in your presence now.
Yes.
And Lord, he's rejoicing, even as Mark read that scripture about clapping and worshiping God.
Amen.
And Lord, he's in the presence. And Lord, we thank you for that. I know we'll join him. We'll go to him one day.
Amen.
Use us and use Mark, Lord, through these trials, through these circumstances.
Yes.
Father, use him in a mighty, mighty way, we ask. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
all right.
That's it. I thank you.
One thing for you, Ed.
Yes, brother.
God, give me a word for you.
All right.
That don't worry what you're going to say this day. The importance is your life, the rest of your life, is what's going to honor him every day, every time you open your mouth.
Okay.
Not just today.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I hope you got something out of it. Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next week is going to be Kenny O'Rourke. We have prayer down front for anybody that's interested in just a few momentos. Amen. Give him another hand. And for the ladies that made our breakfast this morning, thank you, ladies.